Yeah, let's change topics a little bit now because we've got one of my favorite new state senators, State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg from the 1st District. And Jerry, how are you doing this morning?
I'm fantastic, Michael, and I'm not sure we should change subjects. You raise, we're listening to you talk about where we're on a potential president's race. That's a great discussion to have now, but I know there's other things you'd like to talk about.
Oh, well, you know, I got to tell you, the idea of a Bush Clinton face-off in 2016, just it really almost makes my skin crawl because I don't know that either one of those people are really going to get the average American excited.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head. There's no question that we're rehashing old families. We're rehashing old candidates. And quite frankly, I think what you saw in this past election is America's ready for a little new blood, somebody that's actually willing to stand up and take a stand. A regular one-of-us Joe's kind of guy, you know, the working stiffs. And
yeah.
So that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I think a lot of America's looking for that, too. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what, on the national level, the GOP manages to do, because I was absolutely floored. I was flabbergasted when the Republicans win the election in a landslide, and we finally have a Republican House and a Republican Senate, and what's one of the first things we do? We talk about a gas tax. And I'm just, it blew my mind. I was like, really? Republicans, that's your first thing you go to, is you go to a tax increase?
Yeah, and quite frankly, if Republicans don't figure out that Americans are sick and tired of Washington, D.C. squandering their money, and quite frankly, Colorado squandering their money as well, they're going to have a hard time staying in power. Even though the Democrats, they know, are going to spend their money, Republicans, they thought to be different. So what's the difference between us?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, you know, it's a great opportunity to show what a difference there is between Republicans and the Barack Obama wing of the Democrat Party. Now, you mentioned the state. How about the state of Colorado? How, you know, where are we right now? What are we moving forward? I know that there's a lot of noise about Tabor right now, and that's it seems like every couple of years we start talking about how wrong Tabor is for Colorado, which I'm not sure that the average Coloradan feels that way.
Well, and again, it goes back to that the spending that we have both at the federal level and the state level, and we're fortunate in Colorado. Tabor is in place, and Tabor has made sure that Colorado doesn't end up like California, where we have debt that we can't sustain, where we have to raise so high of taxes to cover our government functions. Tabor is doing exactly what it was intended to do and what people wanted it to do when it was put on the ballot. Now there's a question that there may be some Tabor refunds coming and possibility of folks wanting to spend that rather than give it back. And quite frankly, to me, that's just unacceptable.
Well, that's because you're a mean Republican who hates kids and you don't want to fund education. I mean, that's what they're telling us. You know,
And maybe I am. I don't view myself as mean. I view myself as one of those people that runs a business and says, look, we have to prioritize. And I'm for helping restore some of that money and education that we stole the last few years. But I'm also in favor of cutting back all of those new programs, the expansion of Medicaid that we put into place. Take that back to levels where indeed they're sustainable or at least closer to sustainable so we don't have a runaway budget. And I'm still looking at possibilities, trying to find ways if there is a possibility of scaling back some of the agreements we've made with Medicaid so our budget doesn't get outlandish where we can't afford to do anything else in this state with severance tax dollars and water projects and those type of things, infrastructure and highways that we're actually expected to spend money on.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have, you know, in any economy, you're going to have ups and downs. And the whole idea behind Tabor is that you don't get carried away when you have an up year. You don't say, oh, that's it. We're going to project out 8% growth for the next 20 years and playing with that in the back of your mind, because you're going to end up in trouble. That's what's going on with a lot of our public pensions, for example, when it comes to para. We have this unrealistic expectation that the stock market is going to continue to move the way it did in the 1990s. And as we're seeing, that's creating bigger and bigger unfunded liabilities, and that's causing a lot of problems down the road.
Well, indeed, and the challenge there is trying to figure out what that median is over the long run with anticipated employees, and quite frankly, with the way government's growing, they may have enough money to fund those mandates with all the new employees. But the truth is, there's a number of us that don't want to see that continued growth in government, rather see that continued growth in the private sector. And of course, then that makes a difference on how PERA is funded. And there's so many dominoes that have to fall into place for this to fall right.
Now, one of the reasons why I love having you on, Jerry, is because we always end up talking a little bit about the way that Colorado kind of is representative of America in general. You've got the urban interests versus the rural interests, and Colorado lately seems to be run basically by, you know, the Denver, Boulder area. And a lot of the times you feel like if you live outside of that area, your interests are not necessarily represented in Denver at the Capitol.
You're exactly right. Quite frankly, Aurora, I believe, has more legislators that represent Aurora than I have counties in my Senate district. So my entire counties or region, they get one senator for 11 counties, and there are, I can't remember the number between the senators and representatives in Aurora, but your urban areas, it's a daunting task, and indeed, it's going to be run by the populace. So, you know, my biggest job is to try and educate on the effects that urban laws or from urban legislators make, not understanding what happens in rural Colorado, the impact that that'll have on rural Colorado. And understand that rural Colorado houses the number one and number two industries in this state. That's oil and gas production or energy production, all of energy, and then also agriculture. And so when you slap rural Colorado, you also slap the economy of the state, which helps build those roads along the I-25 corridor.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the way that Colorado has not been doing horribly economically right now, but there is a report out there explaining that from the Denver Business Journal, I think they even reported on it, that a lot of companies are skipping over Colorado despite the fact that we have a really pretty well-educated workforce. So what that tells me is that when you look at the overall Colorado economy, a lot of what we depend on comes from outside of the Denver/Boulder area. A lot of it comes from the other side of the divide, for example, or out on the Eastern Plains where you're from. There's a lot to Colorado, and yet we have kind of a Denver-centric mentality, at least when it comes to the leadership in the state right now.
And you're exactly right. And there are a number of issues that are weighing in when it comes to Colorado bringing in new industry, and a couple of them that are, I think, important. The first one is how do we deal with a tax structure when other states around us creating more lucrative incentive for them to for companies to locate in other states? And you know, I'm not one to hand out money to businesses, but oftentimes there are incentives that need to be put in place because our other states are finding ways to lure those companies into their states. And then the other issue that is I think the gorilla in the room is our legalization of marijuana and our inability of companies to find people that can pass a drug test that'll work for them. And I don't know what to do about that. It's in the Constitution. But we have oil and gas industry that would love to hire people, or in the last couple of years before oil got down below $50, that were looking for employees, and people would rather smoke a joint occasionally and have that in their bloodstream and then not be able to pass a drug test than work for a living. And so it creates challenges for those new businesses. How are they going to find a good, solid workforce? So that's another issue that makes it challenging for us in Colorado.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's also just an image thing. People think about where they're going to set up a business or where they're going to move for their new business headquarters, and there is a stigma when it comes to Colorado. I have to travel a lot for town hall, and wherever I go, and as soon as somebody finds out I'm from Colorado, the first question they have is, oh, you guys legalized marijuana. How's that working out? And that does create kind of an image problem that, I don't know, maybe you can address, maybe you can't address, but nonetheless, it is an actual weight on Colorado getting back to where we should be economically.
Well, and no question, the truth is, when I travel as well with regard to legislative duties or conferences, when they find out I'm in Colorado as well, they want to know the effects of the legalization of marijuana in the state. And then, of course, they always they ask serious questions, but then they also poke fun at us, too. So it's not an image that I like, but it's an image. It's what the voters of Colorado voted, and so we got to figure out how to deal with it.
Well, and I will tell you, you know, something that I talk about quite a bit. I think that what it tells about Colorado voters, because that was the same year that then we went out and we decided to recall a couple of state legislators because they infringed on our right to keep and bear arms. And it tells me that the Colorado voter is a pretty independently minded individual. Like they don't necessarily want government telling you what drugs they can use, but they also don't want government telling you what guns you can or can't have, or what they don't like regulations in general. And that's something that maybe we can really latch onto with a Republican Senate here in Colorado.
Well, and again, you're exactly right. The unfortunate part is that we won't be able to change much, because we have a Republican-controlled Senate in Colorado and a Democrat-controlled House, but I can assure you we will stop a lot of the garbage that would have been run through if we would not have taken control of the Senate. The garbage that we have seen over the last couple of years with regard to guns and energy mandates on rural Colorado and those type of things.
Hey, Jerry, we have to take a break. Are you able to hang through the break for a few more minutes?
I'm happy to, Mike.
Okay, perfect. Again, Jerry Sonnenberg, who is state senator from the 1st District. And I got to tell you, it's kind of nice getting an inside view of what's going on in Capitol Hill, especially from somebody who's not from the Denver area immediately. 303-696-1971. We'll be right back on 710 KNUS. Welcome back. I'm Michael Schaus, filling in for Dan Campos, who is off enjoying his Dr. King holiday. We are joined by Jerry Sonnenberg. Jerry Sonnenberg, the Colorado State Senator from Senate District Number 1. And Jerry, I know that you're going to be sitting down on your couch tonight with a bucket of popcorn and a diet soda, watching the State of the Union speech. With just, you're going to be on the edge of your seat, enjoying every second of it, right?
Actually, I probably will be sitting down listening, but I'm trying to decide whether I need to set my phone and computer away so I don't go tweeting crazy as I typically do during the past State of the Union addresses. But I am looking forward to hearing what comes out of his speech. But you know, the truth is, I'm not putting much credence in what he says, as he has not done what he said he was going to do, and then when he has Congress to deal with, he just decides, okay, I'm going to do it this way. It's kind of like my kids, quite frankly. They throw a tantrum, and they'll do it their own way somehow. That's what I've seen here. So I look forward to listening to it, but I'm not very optimistic about what he's going to have to say. It'll be an entertaining value for me.
Yeah, we'll see how long I can actually last with it. The rule in my household is all guns need to be locked up before we start watching it, because we like our TV. It's just it's going to drive us crazy. I know that. So I'm probably going to last about 90 seconds, but I'm definitely going to read it. One of the things I'm looking forward to, though, is, you know, he's going to talk about the rousing success of Obamacare, and Colorado is kind of a cool case study for this, because Obamacare can be spun, I guess, as a success story by this administration on some levels. But when you really look at the numbers in Colorado, the New York Times, of all places, is talking about how premium costs in Colorado are completely unpredictable. That is just, that's the biggest problem we're facing here in this state, is it's completely unpredictable, and the cost for the website is runaway right now.
Well, and as you may or may not know, I served on the audit committee when we just did the audit with regard to the exchange, a limited audit, and it was horrendous. It was absolutely, it was embarrassing for the state of Colorado, quite frankly. And they spent their money on lobbyists, which was actually illegal. They spent money on things, chapstick, giveaways, all sorts of silly things, and yet they don't have a system in which they can determine who actually is eligible, who is not eligible. They were supposed to have that fixed. I actually have a bill that I'm carrying this year to run a more extensive audit, because they're quasi-government. They actually don't fit under our purview. So we're running a bill this year. It's actually the same bill to expand the audit that we had last year that passed the House 64-1, and then they came in with their lobbyists that they spent their dollars that they were supposed to be using for health care. They spent those dollars on lobbyists to kill the bill in Senate in the first Senate committee. So we're running that bill again this year, and during that audit, I asked the director and their policy folks, I says, are you supportive of this bill this year to allow us to help you make sure that you're doing things the way that you should be doing, quite frankly, so the feds don't come in and say, you know what, you're not doing it right. You still have to do your exchange, but we're taking all our money back because you haven't followed the rules. So it's a nightmare. It's a mess. It's hard to quantify the numbers because they are giving different data to different folks, and you know as well as I do, you can numbers can be manipulated to say what they want them to say, and that it appears that's what they are doing. And this all goes back. You remember the Udall story where he asked them not to release some certain information or pad the information so it didn't look so bad. So it's a challenge, and we have huge issues.
Yeah, what a shock that, a shock that this is not turning out right. You know, I shared a story earlier today. The IRS doesn't even know how they're supposed to be implementing the Obamacare taxes. And when the IRS doesn't even know, the enforcement agency isn't even 100% certain of how they're going to enforce things at this late date, that tells you that this is just not shaping up. Basically, everything that we worried about when it came to the exchange and when it comes to Obamacare in general seems to be playing out pretty much on cue.
Well, you're exactly right. And perhaps here's my smart aleck side of me. Perhaps if the IRS would have taken a little more time figuring out what the law is instead of making up their own rules and regulations with regard to different filings from different organizations, perhaps they would have been more prepared for this.
Yeah. I mean, come on. In all fairness, Jerry, they were really, really busy making sure they audited all those mean conservative groups. Yeah,
well, I understand that. You know what, Michael? I better shut up.
because otherwise, check your taxes before you say anything else, apparently. it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting in the next couple of years, especially seeing how Colorado ends up panning out with the exchange. I hope that we get the full audit on it, because I think that it's just, well, it's like almost any other government agency. It's just, it lends itself to a level of cronyism, and it lends itself to a level of waste, and it lends itself to a level of inefficiency. And that's not really what any of us want in our healthcare.
And quite frankly, I think that goes across party lines. Nobody wants that inefficiency. Granted, our healthcare system in Colorado needed some work. We needed to fix some things. The overhaul that we have here obviously needs a whole lot of fixing as well. I don't know if we can actually ever repeal it now. If we run all the healthcare insurers or the smaller guys out of business with this if there's ever a way to go back. But it indeed needs dealt with. Our health insurance is always, our health care system in the United States has always needed some sort of fixing. But quite frankly, why is it that everybody wants to come to America when they need health care if the system is so bad?
But, I know, especially when Cuba is right there. You know, I mean, everybody loves Cuba, and they're, you know, now I'm sure that's where Michael Moore is going to go when he has a heart attack finally.
Of course, yeah, no question. Or maybe he'll go sit in line in Canada.
Right, exactly.
While Canadians are coming down here, you know,
exactly,
to get their immediate health care.
Exactly. Hey, Jerry, always good to talk to you. Certainly appreciate it, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Michael. I look forward to talking to you again sometime. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, Jerry Sonnenberg from the 1st District, Colorado State Senator. And I got to tell you, there's a lot that we have to tackle in the next couple of years. And there's also a lot that we have to message. Conservatives and the Republican Party needs an overhaul on their message. They need to find some. They need to find a PR agent or something. 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. We'll be right back on 710 KNUS.